folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here, and sitting across from me is...
He is here. Mike Cosentino here, still mispronouncing my name for 40 years. But we have exciting...
Do you really want us to start pronouncing your name correctly?
No, I don't. That way, it can, as long as you,
we wouldn't remember who you were.
As long as when you say, "Hey, give the guy at the end of the bar Jameson's," I'm okay. We're doing okay with that.
So what are we doing today? We have a studio just absolutely full of people.
We do.
Yeah.
And
we're focusing on climate change. And I think since the studio there's almost 200 people in the studio, I think should each all three of you introduce yourselves.
I'm Peggy Chaikin, longtime resident of the Verde Valley, and now living in Sedona. And I'm working with several groups here to activate people for climate change awareness.
And I'm Pam Drake. I've been here 27 years. I'm an Arizona Phoenix resident from way back. But anyway, I'm here to also be part of Indivisible in Sedona, talking on what can we do in Sedona about climate change.
And I'm Frankie Reamer. I'm a longtime resident of Northern Arizona, another member of Indivisible. And we're all here to talk about several activities that are being held in the area in the next week or so around climate change.
That's great. There's lots of things to do. Climate change is obviously the focus this morning. These folks got a kind of specific focus on specific focuses on climate change,
and we're in a period of massive hurricanes and stuff, and unstable weather, and droughts, and huge forest fires because of droughts in Oregon, Montana, and California. And then on the other hand, down along the southern coast of the United States, we have these massive hurricanes, and apparently Puerto Rico and parts of it. The hurricane that they weren't talking about has taken out the power system for up to 6 months in Puerto Rico. People are running out of food in the mountains and so forth and so on. So climate change has these slow, measurable things. You can measure the melting of the glacier. You can see the chunks of ice coming off of the different places like Antarctica and in the Arctic. But it also it creates a really unstable environment. So what is your focus collectively? You're having a series of meetings and marches, and you're trying to get out the message about climate change in a personal way, right?
Okay.
A personal way, but also a political way. As you might know, Indivisible is committed to thinking about our elected representatives and the ways that they represent or don't represent our interests. We started talking about this first during the Texas hurricane, and we can barely keep up, right? It's once a week we're getting hammered. And so we want to make the connections between these superstorms, climate change, and then our elected representatives. And we know that both of our senators are considered climate change deniers. And so these kinds of connections are important to make now.
How is it that climate change, which is the warming, which was usually for global warming, the world is warming up and it's measurable. How does that generate, and a brief, I know that you guys are not scientists, but how does that generate these massive storms and this instability in weather that's really worldwide?
Well, the warmer air collects more moisture. That makes these storms more powerful. Then it's kind of a bucket effect. They pick up more moisture over the oceans as the oceans are warmer and the air is warmer, and then they dump it. We're very concerned with that effect, and mostly we're addressing our local issues here, which is drought, our water issues. We may have some big storms. We may have some big rainstorms here, but they're not affecting the big droughts in the Southwest. And then we're sitting ducks here in Sedona for a fire in northern Arizona. We can have massive fires just like they have in other regions. We have insect damage because of the decrease in moisture and the insects trying to get moisture out of the plants. We have a lot of dead vegetation. So there's takes my breath away. It's intensely local and regional for everyone who lives with this issue.
There's lots of chances to get involved here. Last week we had the Friends of the Verde Greenway on, and we talked kind of organizational stuff as much as climate stuff and drought stuff and water stuff. But because, they're consolidating, and some of those groups are joining others and becoming a little more focused and a little more easy to identify. But and they talked about their issues of water and drought. And this week we're definitely talking about climate change. We did reference Naomi Klein's book on various shows over the last year on This Changes Everything. And talked about the climate. It talks about, you know.
We talked with philosopher Matt.
Good old Matt.
Goodwin, Matt Goodwin, there I had a senior moment, who teaches environmental ethics up at NAU about Naomi Klein's book. So those are broad things. You guys are trying to relate locally in Sedona and the Verde Valley, like the Verde Valley River people are, to these changes. And what is your program? What is your take on this?
Okay, here we go. Toby Friedman is one of the Sedona organizers of Indivisible in Sedona, and we're coordinating a march during the next First Friday Art Walk here in Sedona, October 5th, from, 6th, is it?
Yes, the 6th.
The 6th, okay, six. Friday the 6th.
From 5 to 6.
From 5 to 6. That's where I got that 5.
There you go.
Okay, and the subject this time will be on the reality of climate change in solidarity with the Northern Arizona Climate Change Alliance. So the mayors and councilwomen and men in Phoenix, Tucson, Flagstaff, and also at NAU in Flagstaff have pledged a greener city with and campuses in agreement with the Paris Accord on climate change.
So where is this again, and how do people who want to participate in it, what should they do? How do they get involved in
Okay,
this?
We got three things you can do if you care about helping Sedona be more green.
How about the march, though?
So first thing would be show up Tuesday tomorrow afternoon, the 26th, at City Hall in Sedona, about 4 p.m., and sign up for your 3 minutes of suggestions on this subject, if you have any, or come about 4:30 and support those speaking. Hundreds of folks around town have added their names to our lists of those hoping to green up Sedona, and many more folks are adding their names as we explain our purpose.
So everyone has a right to come and speak for 3 minutes.
Right.
And it's really easy to do. You stand in line, you go up, and you have your 3 minutes of, I don't know exactly fame, but you have your 3 minutes of being able to say what you want to say. And we encourage everybody to come to these city council meetings and speak their mind.
And at that particular meeting tomorrow, the city council is, for the first time in a few years anyway, going to talk about sustainability and issues of sustainability in Sedona. So it's a great time to make our concerns known.
So it's interesting because just during this time here, where we are changing from summer to fall, and now we're having this great cold wave, we're noticing that we have more awareness with climate issues, and at that meeting in Sedona here at 4:30 on Tuesday, citizens can talk about sustainability, and we can not be confrontive. We can ask our town councils to go for having a community action plan on climate, which is a nonpartisan effort to engage the community with our elected officials to develop a climate action plan for our local town. And what it is to reflect our community plan, which already says it's dedicated to protecting our environment. So that's one thing that's happening in our little cluster of activities, is that meeting. The other is our rally on the 6th. We have a sign-making party the Tuesday before that, and then that rally, which will take place through Indivisible.
And the rally, we're meeting at Canyon Breeze just before 5, and we're going to be walking from Canyon Breeze to Tlacopaque and back again. There will be a couple things going on during the rally. We're collecting signatures. Peggy just mentioned the Climate Action Plan. So we're collecting signatures on petitions to encourage the city council to engage in conversations about a climate action plan. We're also going to do a donation. We have a list of vetted organizations, so we're going to ask people to donate to an organization of their choice to help the refugees.
Climate refugees that we have in our own country from the hurricane. Yeah.
And then,
when is it again? Tell me again.
It's October 5th. Friday, October 6th, at 5 October to 6 6th. O'clock.
It's
and
the
you
first
mean
Friday.
Canyon Breeze.
First Friday.
Canyon
yes.
Breeze
yeah.
Restaurant in Uptown Sedona.
And this will be one of many marches that we hope to hold on First Fridays.
That's great.
And I think it's great that you're saying it's nonpartisan, but the name of this show is Democratic Perspective. I suspect if it was Republican Perspective, you wouldn't be here.
No, I'm that's not true, because this concerns everyone. This is an issue that's larger than any kind of ideological commitment you might have. You do not have to believe in climate change to care about the quality of life in your community and to see that things have changed over the years. I've lived here 45 years. I've noticed changes. Drive up to Flagstaff, look at that forest up there. We've had fires. I mean, just think about the fire we had in Oak Creek Canyon. And we all sat here in Sedona going, which way is the wind blowing? How is it coming?
Well, yes, I'm trying to be provocative here.
I know you are. Okay. But I really want to say that the Northern Arizona Climate Alliance, which has been working in Flagstaff and has generated over 3,000 signatures on their petition, has gotten their town council to have a community climate action plan.
So yeah. If you are thinking about getting into our march for addressing climate change on the 6th, you might want to come help make signs or grab a sign that's already made or make your own. But on October 2nd, at the door office right across the street from Whole Foods, that's 2855 89A in Sedona, from 1 to 3 on the 2nd of October, which is a Monday afternoon.
I'm sorry, so when you say the door office, we're talking about Democrats of the Red Rocks, not Republicans of the Red Rocks, right?
Right, it's just open
being clear
for this activity. It's everybody can get in there and make a sign if they're interested. Okay, so from 1 to 3... make a sign or pick up a ready-made sign to carry on that Friday. If you have any questions, you can email Toby with indivisibleinsedona@gmail.com. So it's just indivisibleinsedona@gmail.com. If you've got any questions, there are 5,800 registered indivisible groups in the nation, at least two in every congressional district. So we're just working out of the local one here.
Isn't there several? Are there like 10 of them in Sedona?
There's called other things, or there's more indivisibles?
There are more groups that have formed to become active in this time of radical change that's taken over in many areas. So, yes, some of them are called indivisible. I think this is the main one in Sedona. And then we have Resist. We have After the March. There are various groups that are forming to become more active.
So there's lots of groups, but there's only one in indivisible, maybe.
This is under the heading of the indivisible.
Yes.
Following that manual for organizations.
So here are some sign possible suggestions if you're making your own sign. Let's fix this planet for our children. Or wind and solar now before it's too late. Do away with unsustainable toxic fossil fuels. How about one called No Planet B?
How about a really short one for those of us with
green
attention
up.
Deficit
Not everything can be reduced to
Here's
a soundbite.
Here's one. Green up, Sedona. Green up.
All right. Something like climate change. Well, I this is one of my pet peeves.
I have one. Act on climate change.
There you go.
Just act
there you
on
go.
Climate change.
So this initiative is totally a multi-partisan issue that isn't coming from just Democrats, but Republicans, independents, and those who traditionally don't even show up to vote or are too young to vote. Join us. Doing what we can to reverse global warming and getting off fossil fuel should be every citizen's initiative for the survival of our children and their children. So some of our suggestions for this area that other communities are pledging might include, what if we mandated solar readiness on new commercial or home construction? In other words, if you can't afford to put the solar up there, maybe a time will come when we'll be subsidized and be able to. So it'd be good to think about putting readiness for solar on roofs.
So that would be a technical getting ready for solar, even if you didn't put it on when the house is
right.
built. Sounds like a good idea.
And if you're building something, consider designing with passive solar where possible. Plan for a nearby solar or wind farm nearby to feed our APS Sedona grid, so those who can't afford the $30,000 to buy and install on their own rooftop panels can take comfort to know their grid is fed by renewables instead of coal or toxic nuclear power sources. So on that note, if you find yourself in Flagstaff between now and October 28th, so there's about a month left on this, take some time to visit the art installation at Coconino Center for the Arts. The exhibit is titled Hope and Trauma in a Poisoned Land. It's open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 to 5. It doesn't cost anything. If you want to volunteer some money in the pot, that's great. It's across from the Museum of Northern Arizona. It's called the Coconino Center for the Arts and features the devastation of a uranium mining just north of us in Cameron, Arizona. So that's pretty phenomenal.
It's been a while since we did a show on the uranium pollution that can affect the Grand Canyon. We had someone from the Grand Canyon Protection sort of organization. I forget the exact name of it, but that's a really important issue because the problem is that the uranium mine, the tailings and stuff, the water gets polluted, gets in the springs, and gets spread around.
I think it's great that you guys are I don't want to say pretending, but certainly aiming at bipartisan, that the poison of our environment affects everybody, Republicans and Democrats, and everybody should be involved in this. And you probably have, and even non-voters. I thought it was great that you mentioned that this issue, of all the issues, it seems, climate change and the environment, impacts, it gets out those people that haven't voted. It gets out the people that forget for a minute what side they're on. And
particularly young people. Mike,
exactly, particularly young people. And then it's a gateway into the political process that many millennials believe is a waste of time.
So, Frankie, you're the agitator. Go ahead. You're the agitator. You and Mike are agitators.
Yes.
So tell us the agitator perspective on this.
Well, I was going to say that if our water is contaminated, right, it affects all of us, that is not something that simply affects Democrats. I had an incident this summer. I had to change my insurance for my house, and so I had to find a new insurance company. And the gal that I found told me that this summer no one in Prescott could get housing insurance because of the fires, that no insurance companies were issuing mortgage insurance. So that affects all of us. You don't have to be a Democrat to be affected. We are all affected. Our quality of life is affected. If you live in Key West, your quality of life has been affected regardless of who you vote for. So, right, these are issues that are part of all of our lives. And unfortunately, our elected representatives are not attending to these issues.
Are you talking to the elected representatives?
Well, folks? Our Senator Jeff Flake has voted 9 times out of 10. So he has a 90% rating as a climate change denier. The same thing with John McCain, who has an 80% record of voting against sustainable efforts. So we have both of our senators who are known as climate change deniers.
And our state representatives, both in the Senate and the House of, and the House, are climate change deniers big time, and some of the most extreme and crazy people in the state House.
Well, that's it. And these kinds of activities that we're talking about this morning, we got Peggy Chaik and Frankie Reamer and Indivisible talking about these. In order to become, I think a lot of people remain hazy on these, on the ideas of climate change and on the ideas of the environment in general, but certainly on climate change. And the more you become familiar with the facts, with the ideas, with 97% of scientists agree, I think then the more you're going to contact the Jeff Flakes and the John McCains and the state people, that there's lots of things that could be done at the state level.
I think there's several scientists that work for the oil companies that did.
Well, regardless of the reason, the idea is the more familiar you become with the information, then the more politically active you're likely to become. Once again, going back to Naomi Klein's book, she ignored it for years. I mean, it was just one more thing. And you know, she remained intentionally hazy on the information. But once you become clear on the information, I mean, Al Gore, so all these other people are doing their best and the people in this room are doing their best to sharpen the focus on and let people know what's going on. They're believing, and I believe this is true, that once they know, once it's clear, once they see the connections, then
so
political action will follow.
Mike is, once they see the connections, once they see that climate change is happening, what is it that makes them jump from being concerned to holding marches and meetings and outreach to people who don't care? What takes you from being concerned to action?
I think it's a personal one-to-one communication with each other, talking about this issue and sharing the information that we have and sharing personal stories like Frankie has. I went to a conference at MIT last spring where they talked about this very issue, and they said that there's a real problem with communicating the climate problem with our populace because of the foggy aspect of it. It's like too big to handle. So you just kind of want to get under the covers, put your head on the pillow and go, oh, this will go away. Maybe it's not my lifetime. We're talking about, you know, the next century. Well, you know, on a personal level, when you can't get home insurance for your home because there's been fires, that's affecting you. If you are living in Sedona and you have a forest fire up the canyon and it can come down here, if you notice the areas of drought, you don't have to believe in climate change to go for the economic benefits of changing your power sources. This is a transitional time. You can take some steps. We have a wonderful group here called Inspiration Sedona, who has for years been showing movies. Pash Gavalvi is now up at Coconino Center for the Arts giving a talk on the uranium mining. She has a fabulous, I just want to say she has a personal solutions for climate change in your health, a wonderful thing that you can get from her.
So how about Pam here? What brought you from reading about and learning about climate change to getting so active and doing something about it? Was there a spark or was a gradual process?
Well, my neighbor poked me and said, you got to join us. Anyway,
personal poke.
But I've been, since I moved here to Northern Arizona in 1990, I've been reading and following all this stuff at the Black Mesa coal mine near Four Corners. Peabody Coal slurried 3 million gallons a day out of the Navajo aquifer. That's part of our water supply up north.
When we criticized the coal
years.
Company up there, we heard from them literally the next day. They wrote us a big protest letter. They're the one giant corporation that really kind of jumped on us. And that was a few years back.
Well, this was for 40, it's been going on for 40 years. And now enough protesters and lawyers got involved. And so they're not slurring that water, but all the aquifers up in the Northland that were the livelihood of the Navajo and the Hopi. And all of their animals is pretty much down. You know, there's not enough water up there. They're all hauling water because it's contaminated and et cetera. The other thing is from 44 to 86, nearly 20 million tons of uranium was extracted from that Navajo lands up by Cameron. And this is part of the exhibit up at the Coconino Center for the Arts. This is us. This is right north of us. At the time, Navajo miners and residents were not informed of the health impacts of working in those mines or of the impact of their land to their lands. Many Navajo people have died of kidney failure and cancer from conditions linked to uranium contamination. Research from the CDC shows uranium in babies born now. So this is our people. This is in our state. You know, we should be aware of...
That's lots of choices for local...
I think you made an important point that what got you active was really someone personally talking to you about it. Yeah. I think that that's something that folks can do. You don't have to have a radio show. You can talk to your neighbors and you talk to your friends about the issue. Peggy?
Just the... when I was teaching elementary school, we practiced each one, teach one. Each one, teach one is a great concept for spreading the word and getting people to say how it relates to them personally, why they want change. We can really spread this message, and we're spreading the message with this petition drive. We're spreading the message through different groups in different types and different styles of becoming engaged. Choose your way of being active, but please be active.
And we're spreading the message through the march on October 6th.
October 6th at 5.
Yeah, and
you're starting at Canyon Breeze.
That's right. I wanted to say that I'm originally from the East Coast, and living in big cities, there is a sense of being disconnected from the environment. Living in Sedona, I'm giving myself goosebumps. There is no disconnection from the environment. We drive in beauty every day. And I'm not I don't want to over-romanticize the Red Rocks, but we have grave responsibilities as stewards of this incredibly beautiful, beautiful place. And it's hard for me to understand how people don't see the connections living here. I mean, we live in such a treasure, and it's our then responsibility to take care of that treasure.
And my other focus for me personally is not just because I'm on the board of Friends of the Verde River Greenway to preserve the flow in the Verde River, and that means to keep the water in the ground and not have extensive well water pumping that's unmanaged in our region, but also to keep the public lands public. So that they're not subject to sprawl, they're not degraded, and then we end up with more planned area developments.
Well, it does take a lot of you got to be on the ball here. We live in the middle of the Coconino National Forest, and so there's always this constant pressure between development and the natural world. And when you have this interface like Sedona and the forest and all of this beauty that Frankie talked about, there's this constant tension between wanting more development and wanting more to leave things in its natural state.
And I know we have Amendment 12, which is part of our forest management plan, and that is protecting us from land exchanges.
But so far.
So far, and we have to keep that so far in mind. It's not a permanent protection. So we have to be vigilant. We have to keep ourselves aware of why it's important to protect these areas, and it is related to climate change. It is related to the vitality of the tourism industry here, the economics of the area, the businesses that thrive here. We want to embrace that community to work together to preserve the integrity of the environment here, which is in our community plan.
To make those connections, though, I mean, like, and I appreciate that the groundwater pumping decreases the flows of the surface water, rivers, and streams. A lot of places in the world don't see that. Back east, you got surface water, plenty of surface water, but here there's such a delicate connection between groundwater and surface water. And it took even, and this is a no-brainer, but it still took USGS, and we talked about it last week, a long time to finish their study and make that connection. The state's ordinances and laws don't yet reflect acknowledgement of that connection between groundwater and surface. So the more people that move here, the more straws you put into the aquifer, the less flows you're likely to have on the surface. And losing riparian habitat, no matter where it is going to be impactful.
And that's why community action plans are really important on climate, because if there is more development, and there will be, you know, infill and certainly some instances where places are developed, that those the building plans reflect the green view of our community for water conservation, for solar preparedness. Those kinds of decisions are made through community input, just like our community plan, with the expertise of our councils, because they can do those broader infrastructure type regulations and not the little picky things that we do on our own, but broader policy engagement for the community.
Let's take a minute, Mike, and make some announcements.
You bet. We want to thank our friends at El Portal Restaurant and Hotel for all of their great support for Democratic Perspective, our friends at Democrats of the Red Rocks for supporting this show. And
we have a fundraiser at El Portal.
Do have a fundraiser Wednesday to keep Democratic Perspective on the air. We have please come. You can find out all sorts of information at vvid.org.
And on our website, you can
on our website.
It's $30 drinks, dinner, wonderful entertainment,
great entertainment,
wine auction. It's our yearly thing. It's a
free wine glass.
Place. Yeah, free wine glass.
Free wine glass
with the Democratic Perspective written on it.
That's very important. Great for throwing on the fireplace.
And then DOOR has a fundraiser too, right?
DOOR does have a fundraiser. They're doing called the American Songbook. Peggy?
Yes. DOOR is going to have a fabulous evening starting at 4 o'clock on October the 8th with entertainment at the Posse Grounds. Actually, it's a hub. The wonderful singers will be there to do the American
Susanna
Songbook.
Yeah. Sandler mm-hmm. is the piano player, wonderful piano player. Patrick Key, longtime Sedona favorite, will be teaming up to do this thing called American Songbook at the Sedona Posse Grounds Hub, where all the theater happens in Sedona in the last few years.
And that's DOOR's big fundraiser of the year. It's kind of fundraiser season now.
Yeah, it is.
There's a lot of competition.
It's not competition. It's really rallying together.
That's true.
Think about, say the DOOR office, just on a side,
Sure.
To keep that office open, we conceived of the idea of a $5 a week pledge to keep the office open. So if you say $5 a week, we as a community can have an office that can be used by groups that want to be active. They don't have to be Democrats, but they don't have to pay to, well, it would be nice if they made a contribution to use the office.
But it would be, it's great to have this facility. Democrats of the Red Rocks, as you know, ordinarily they'd be doing a picnic this time of year and have candidates come and speak. It's been a long tradition, but they're sort of breaking that tradition and going with this American Songbook fundraiser, which I think is a great idea. Change it up a little bit. But maintaining a facility in a town like Sedona for all sorts of activities, environmental, the Women's March, and on and on and on, is a really, really good thing. So if you haven't seen the office, go by in Old Sedona Bar and Grill, right across from World Market. Of course, you might have to look through the window, but until they get it staffed adequately.
Yeah, you know, DOOR is looking for a general contractor who will contribute their time to hanging the sign on the road. There's a sign in the window of the office, but there's no sign on the road because the city requires us to have a general contractor off on hanging.
Turning to climate change. Yes. Climate change is like the biggest, broadest issue around that affects everybody in the world differently. You know, if you're in a low-lying area in Central America, you're in a lot more danger than if you're in some other areas. So we have the most global, most pervasive, and most general problem. So let me ask each of you, and what can an individual do? Because this is a problem that's happening both slowly and in some places quickly. And what is an individual? What are your individual approach to trying to do something with climate change? Peggy, you want to start?
Well, this list that Inspiration Sedona puts out is very, very good, and I recommend that you go and look at go to the Inspiration Sedona site. You can go to Years of Living Dangerously and look at all of that stuff. But for myself, I'm putting a lot of that stuff into practice, but I really want to move for more infrastructure change on our local levels that will help us. We want to get our communities activated with a plan now that will have a broader impact than just say my saying I'm a vegetarian. That's important, but it's not the whole picture.
So Pam?
Oh yes. So what can we do if you can't do anything and you're just living in your house? There's a couple of small things that you could do. Wrap the pipes on your water heater, turn your refrigerators down a little. You can do more insulation in your house so that you'd cut down on your fossil fuel.
There's actually household things you can do personally.
If,
you don't have
you
to
can't
ask
get out there and,
you can just do
yeah,
them.
If you can't get out there and march or...
You don't have to make a sign and get on the corner.
No. You can do small things, and if we could get rid of plastic bags in Sedona like some communities have, that might be a biggie.
It's illegal to ban plastic bags in Arizona.
Oh, it is? But each one teach one.
Right. Now, why would a legislature pass legislation forbidding cities and other jurisdictions from banning plastic bags? Who would be behind that?
Oh, I know the answer to that. I know.
Who's behind this?
We don't want government in our plastic bags.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess the plastic bag lobby is very strong, right? But I was going to add that certainly we can support recycling efforts. I read recently that as individuals, if each of us took two fewer plane rides, so that actually is one of the most important ways of cutting our own participation. But I also agree with Peggy that we have to think structurally as well. For example, in Sedona, we're discussing transportation. We have too much traffic, as we know. So, and we've got, these endless options for transportation plans. Mm-hmm. That seems like something that very nicely folds into this climate action plan that we're hoping the city will move to.
Right.
The traffic
public transportation, get people out of their cars, follow the model of Flagstaff. Have some biofuel, hybrid vehicles. You can have smaller vehicles to pick up people in town. You can improve the bike lanes so that more people will use the bikes. Put some benches along the sidewalk so people will walk more and they can rest. Encourage.
I think this is huge. I think people complain about government and dictating their, you know, and the involvement and the inefficiency. And this is one of those areas that's been going on for a long time that has been primarily promoted, grassroots, for want of a better term, and still needs, has so far to go and so much to do that could be grassroots, that could be impactful, simply by doing some of the things that's already been mentioned.
I think it's a really important point you're making, Mike, that it's really been grassroots leading this the whole time. Governments, some of the governments in the world are much more active, but governments being dragged into climate change by people like you folks.
Well, that's it. I always say I'll get involved when I can go to my curb and, you know, and I can just, you know, I don't want to, which I have, by the way, the three trash cans in my garage with the plastic and the glass and the cans, but I would much rather have it directed, have my government representatives, I would rather have Sedona City Council say, yeah, we recognize how important this is, and we're going to do this, this, and this to facilitate sustainability in Sedona. We can't do it in Arizona, we can't do it in the Southwest, but we can do it in this, you know, 18 square miles.
And putting in outlets for people to charge their cars in Uptown for
more
people who have electric vehicles. What I want to say about the Community Action Plan, finally, is that it can't just be a statement and then go on the shelf. It has to be something that you can verify that you are going to approach these goals and show that you are achieving them, just like you have when you have a special education plan. You have to have it calculable, that you are actually going to have markers that show you want it to be a strong plan that will show that it's actually moving
when
towards implementation.
When are you guys going to the city council? When's that?
Well, this is a preliminary meeting where they're discussing sustainability, and there's a little, you know, community input at the beginning of the meeting, and there's
tomorrow?
Going to be a discussion.
Tomorrow at 4:30.
Yes, tomorrow at 4:30. It's not the be-all and end-all of this. It's not the, like, we're there and we're going to pow, 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 tell our city council, you know, that they have to do. It's starting their recognition that there are people in the community that want them to take sustainability in this direction rather than sustainability in some other kind of weaker direction.
So it's the kind of meeting where you don't take a vote. The council doesn't take a vote. It's beginning to collect information and feedback from the city and discuss the issue, right?
Right, and perhaps to encourage, to show city council that this is a conversation that we need to be having. So really, I think it's the beginning of a citywide discussion.
I think it's real important. As a reporter, I covered government for a long time. Showing up, as Woody Allen says, is 80% of everything. I mean, you got, and showing up means a lot to those folks. If you show up for sustainability or for anything else, if you got a problem with land exchanges, show up for that.
Well, they have, you know, the town council, you know, they get a packet of things to study, and they have.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They have priority lists. So we want this to be top priority.
We're holding up a finger doesn't mean stop. It means we got a minute left.
We have a minute left.
That's forever.
I think that you folks have really gotten the ideas out there. It's important to do you have a website quickly that you could tell us that folks could go to for information on the marches and organizing events?
Yes, indivisibleinsedona@gmail.com is just a email for Tony Friedman.
All right, thank you. Thanks. Don't forget you can get this podcast and all our podcasts on bbid.org, bbid.org. Thanks, folks. This has been Democratic Perspective.
Thank you.
You've been been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.